eyes fixed upon her because she is of that staggering beauty to you, like he says of his beloved. We need to show them that. Notice her. Talk to her about all those things that you see. Secondly, affection. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 29 uses a tremendous word. When he talks about husbands loving your wives, we think about the first part of that section back in verse 25 when he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. And we say, that's a sacrificial love. Be willing to sacrifice for your wife. That's true. That's the part of the love that goes right along with the agape. You sacrifice. You do whatever is necessary for your wife. But we mentioned even last night, sometimes it's easier to sacrifice, even to sacrifice in a large fashion, in a short term, than it is to live in a loving fashion every single day. And so as you go farther down into that chapter, what's he say? He says, nourish, which is this idea of giving her what she needs, feeding her, the same way you'd nourish anybody else, both spiritually and in other ways. But then he says, cherish her. And that's a fabulous word. Cherish your wife. The idea is hold her close. Hold her close. The word carries the idea of softening by body heat. In other words, it's like the idea of a hen gathering her chicks. Remember Jesus saying that of Jerusalem. I'd like to just gather you under my wings because there's protection, there's warmth there, and there's just that attitude. We've talked about that and may have talked about that when I was here last time when we talked a little bit about children, but you watch a mother who takes a baby that's just tensed up and crying and screaming, and the mother can hold the baby close, and the baby just softens, doesn't it? It just kind of melts in the mother's arms. That's the idea of this word, softening by body heat, to hold somebody close, to embrace your wife, to let her know how much she means to her, to connect with her, to talk to her, to listen to her. When she wants to tell you about her day, you're listening to her because you want nothing more than to know how you can draw into her life and she can draw into yours. You're showing affection. She wants that kind of affection, how you touch her. It means the world to my wife if I just walk up and put my arm around her shoulder and give her a kiss, or if I put my arms around her waist, or if we're walking through the mall and I hold her hand. I'm not saying I don't enjoy that, but it doesn't mean the same thing to me. But to her, there's just the non-sexual touch. There's just an affection that's there. And she knows, both in the words that I express and the deeds that I demonstrate to her. How are you holding her close? Does she feel that? Does she feel that warmth daily in the things that you say and the things that you do? I want to show you the affection. We pick up a little baby. We kiss a baby all over the head and all over the face and his hands and his feet. And sometimes we're hesitant to even embrace, unless there's, for men, hesitant to embrace unless there's more involved than just the non-sexual side of that. We need to show affection. Thirdly, we need to adore her. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Is that word honor that we spoke about the other day. How much do you value her? Does she understand? Does my wife understand? I've got her set up on this pedestal, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but I'm saying hopefully she understands. I've got her set up like you would the most expensive, most valuable thing in your house. This is just something that I wouldn't dare let anything happen to. Had a baseball that was given to me signed by Tino Martinez. He used to live behind my brother, and my brother got a baseball sign and gave me the baseball, and the boys were impressed with that. And so those little plastic covers, you ever seen those? You put the baseball in a plastic cover and set it up on the shelf. You don't go out and throw it. You know, even if you've seen the movie Sandlot, you don't take Babe Ruth's ball out and decide to play baseball with it. Had it in that little plastic cover. I went to another guy's house that had millions, literally millions of dollars of baseball memorabilia and didn't have one of them in a plastic cover. I said, you don't even protect that stuff. He says, that's why. It's just stuff. He said, I don't care. It's just stuff. Which it is. I understand that. But I protected mine because I thought it was one man who was telling a story, he said, wasn't even a special occasion. He said, but I thought I would impress my wife. I went by the florist. I said, I knew what I was going to do. I walked straight into the florist. I walked up to the counter. I said, I want a dozen long stem roses. Said, while the lady was in the back getting the dozen long stem roses, he said, he saw a vase of roses that were a dozen and a half sitting on the shelf. He said, no, they were just beautiful. $38 for the 18 roses in the vase. He says, the lady walked back out. She had the dozen long stem roses, and she handed them to him. She says, that'll be $84. He said, it went against everything in my being to think I was going to buy $84 worth of roses. He says, but I looked over at the $38 roses, and I didn't have the courage to change my order. So he bought the long stem roses. He says, I took them home, and I gave them to my wife, and one of her friends was there, and my wife was ecstatic over getting these roses. He said, which made me happy, because I spent more on roses than I could imagine ever having spent on any flowers anywhere. She's excited. Her friend's all excited. My wife went to get a vase for the roses. My friend is talking about what an incredibly romantic and loving husband I am. All the wonderful things that he says, and I'm just drinking in all the things she's saying. My wife came back with a vase and a pair of scissors. And she cut the stems off of every one of the roses so they'd fit in the vase. He said, so now I was looking at my $38 roses that cost me $84. But he didn't say anything. And he said the joy that his wife got was what made the difference. All that tells her is she was more valuable than what he spent. It doesn't have to be a monetary thing, but I need to make sure my wife understands she is the most valuable thing to me in the world. What about the other side of the equation? Always simpler. Why? Because men are driven to simplicity to begin with. We're a little bit easier on that end. That doesn't mean it's better. It just means that the women can probably understand some of the things in the drive a little bit better. But appreciate him. You want him to feel loved and romantic in your marriage, then appreciate him, his work, his protection, his provision, his heart for you. Show him appreciation. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, when it talks about earlier about submitting to your husbands, it gets down to the end and it doesn't say submit. It says, nevertheless, it says, let the husbands love their wives, he says, and the wives respect their husbands. How you talk to him and about him, if you show appreciation for him, that's what endears him to you like it endears him to anybody else. Men want to be appreciated because that's a sign of respect. And it makes them feel closer when they feel appreciated. And when a wife doesn't say things that make him feel as if he's not accomplishing or not doing the things that he needs to be doing. Secondly, admire him. Turn back to Song of Solomon with me again. This isn't a one-sided story. Song of Solomon, admire your husband. Because we like to be admired. That's a romantic thing. It whether you're buff or not buff, doesn't matter. If your wife comes up and tells you how strong you are, a man automatically feels something. Flirtation does something. It triggers our heart because God created us to respond the way that we do. And she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointment, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. She just says, you know what? Just let him kiss me with the kiss. I want him so badly. I admire him. I want to hold him in the same fashion. In chapter 5, starting in verse 2, I sleep. This is a great scene. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It's the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. And then she's going to go where with this? This is like the parable Jesus told, right? She's going to say, I'm asleep, go away, I don't want anything to do with you. Look what she says. I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. How can I defile them? My beloved put his hand on the door, on the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. I arose to open for my beloved. My hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone.
My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Isn't that a great description? It's like this incredible desire. You know what? I got up and I answered the door, but I waited too long. I answered late, and he's already gone. But I wanted to be with him. When I heard his hand touch the door, I got excited. That's the way she felt about him. Verse 10. My beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head's like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of the water, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like the bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are like lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Wow. You think your husband wouldn't like to hear those kinds of things? That kind of admiration, that kind of words directed? Men like to be admired the same as women like to be admired. And finally, she needs to understand she's going to have to be amorous. Definition of that is inclined or disposed to love, even especially sexual love. God created man and woman different, and whether women like it or appreciate it or not, I've talked to women who think that it's something unholy in their husbands that they are so visually and physically attracted. But I want you to turn with me to Proverbs, because here's what God is going to say that we need to do when he's talking to a man. Proverbs chapter 5, he's going to say it's important that this applies to your wife only. That's where he's going to start this whole thing. Drink water from your own cistern. I'm not telling you to look at other women. But he says, drink water, verse 15, from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the street? Let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. God says, you admire the way she's built. You admire her body, the physicality. God made us the visual characters we are. That's why when I mentioned the other day, every man understands the phrase, and David saw a woman bathing. That's just an automatic reaction. We understand what happens. Why? Because God made us very physical and very visual. That's the way he created us. And women need to understand. Whereas she wants to have all the connection and the conversation, and the man needs to understand that for her to be romantic, that she needs to have the other aspects of the life. For him to have those other aspects of the life, he has to have the physical side as well. It's created that way. That if she's supplying what he needs and he's supplying what he needs, both are absolutely, totally fulfilled. 1 Peter 3 says, don't just take care of yourself physically. That's not the issue. Not all the gold and the braids and the hair and all those things. But it's not just merely outward appearance, but outward appearance means something. Women need to understand that men want to be enticed. You go into Proverbs chapter 7, you just look at the seductress in Proverbs chapter 7. I'm telling you, that woman knew what she was doing. She dressed up, she perfumed up, she got all ready, she spoke in a sultry voice, and then she did what? She planted a kiss right on that simple youth that was walking the streets. She knew what she needed to do. Now, God says because it wasn't a wife, because it was this seductress, he talks about that you're going to go down to your grave if that's the path you follow. But I'm saying she understood the way to appeal to a man. There's a reason that our whole culture and society uses the physical and visual that they do in advertising, because they know that it's an appeal to men. Be the initiator. Never reject. Entice your husband if you want to be romantic. Let me just read you one quote from a man that I think sums it up well, and the lesson's yours. And I appreciate your patience tonight. For me, this is such a valid part of how we make application of the principles that say I'm striving to live lifelong and to thrive with my wife. He says, I wish my wife understood that making a priority of meeting my intimacy needs is the loudest and clearest way she can say, you are more important to me than anything else in the world. Now, I can tell you that women rarely view that the same way. That is not the most important way you can show that. But we need to show that she's the most important thing in the world. It's just shown differently. He goes on to say it's a form of communication that speaks more forcefully, with less room for misinterpretation than any other. She doesn't understand how even her occasional dismissals make me feel less desirable. I can't resist her. I wish that I too were irresistible. She says that I am, but her ability to say no so easily makes it hard to believe. We don't like to talk about that side of marriage, but God does. He says that there ought to be this incredible attraction between a husband and wife. And you keep that courting going, and that attraction keeps growing, and you fall in love more and over and over and over again throughout your marriage. God says you can keep it new if you want to keep it new. We can have a relationship that not only shows the love that God would have us to have by way of actions and the things that we're doing, but we have a marriage that thrives and shows the world what it means to be deeply, madly, truly in love, and demonstrate that to the world, not only through that agape, but also through the affection that we have toward one another. Because God constantly God is calling you, and he wants you to see the great, the awesome, the beautiful, majestic God that he is, to come to him. And he says, and then he would like to join himself to us in that same relationship as we join to our spouses. For those of us that are Christians,